Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for June 9th, 2024 is based on Mark chapter 3, verses 20 to 35. The guest preacher is Pastor John Mittermeier.
Jesus went home and the crowd came together again so that Jesus and the disciples could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of demons, he casts out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder the property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." Word of God, word of life. Please be seated. Friends, grace to you and peace from the God who wonderfully made us and from Jesus the Christ who made us his family. Amen. If I'd have been well ahead of the game this week, which is not typical for me in sermon preparation, but if I had been well ahead of things, I'd have taken a picture of a very large billboard that's just several blocks from my home. It's just down the street on Alex Bell Road in the Dayton area, if you're familiar with that area, just down the street a couple blocks from the last parish that I served there. I did get to check up on a couple of my former flock members at Early Church, Pat Berger and Chris Hayes among them. So they know exactly where that great big billboard is that towers over the buildings that are around it. On the billboard is a picture of Lincoln and the big word civility over the top of it. And then the rest of it says, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." It's not advertising a product, but it certainly is advertising a great need and requirement in living in these days and in this age in our own country. Maybe Lincoln was less polarizing as far as the donor or the financier of that billboard, but the words which Lincoln, of course, did speak are the words that Jesus spoke in this gospel reading today. A house divided against itself cannot stand. I'm reminded of a mentor that I had in my first parish. So I've always referred to him as St. Harold. And St. Harold was the one who would stress, "Let's agree to disagree without being disagreeable. Let's agree to disagree without being disagreeable." Where did that go out the window at? It's just not the case anymore. It's in your face. I wish that billboard was right across the street from Congress and every congressman or woman could look out and see that sign. I wish it was across the street from the Republican National Headquarters and the Democratic National Headquarters, and everybody could see that sign. A lot of people need to be reminded of it. Civility. A civil society. A society that functions and is not at work tearing itself apart. Jesus' time wasn't a whole lot different, apparently. And that's the timelessness of the gospel, that it speaks to us today just as meaningfully as it did 2,000 years ago. But in one of the more challenging texts to preach, it's got some significant questions and issues in it. This story that Mark shares without a lot of details, that's Mark's style, the shortest of the gospel writers, rather terse and gets to the point quickly. We have a lot of things to consider. The one that many pastors will get asked the question about is the one about blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. And, Pastor, can I do that unintentionally? Could that ever happen accidentally? And I want to reassure you, that cannot. That cannot happen. In this gospel reading, this blaspheming against the Holy Spirit is listed as an eternal sin. It seems to be the point that that person is so far away from what is right and what is true and what is known. And it's just impossible once somebody says, Jesus is of the devil. Jesus has Beelzebul in him, kind of thing. But it's particularly about the Spirit of God, and living in God's Spirit, and living in God's Spirit-filled presence. So we'll leave that kind of unattended, except that that's what's going on here. People were certainly divided about Jesus. I think more then than now. People were more divided about Jesus. What is it that he's doing? How is he doing it? And why is he doing it? You know, those critical questions. Who is he? And how is he doing these things? And why is he doing it? You know how we are when we encounter something radically new and different. We sometimes are very reluctant or hesitant. That means change, something new. That can be problematical for us. Sometimes we laugh it off. Sometimes we say, I'm not going for that. And other times we mock it. That won't last. Now, I'm not doing that. We're wondering about Jesus. And the crowds were surrounding him. The crowds were adoring Jesus. It was to the point where he wasn't even getting the chance to eat or sleep. Thankfully, there are other occasions in the scriptures that we are reminded that Jesus did take time to care for himself. When he would go to a quiet place apart to pray, and he would leave his disciples and go up the mountain and pray, and so on and so forth. There are those moments and examples of self-care. But in this instance, his family was worried about him, not eating, not sleeping. Anybody here at their best when you're not eating or not sleeping? I don't think so. They were worried about Jesus. They came for him. They wanted to bring him home. They wanted to take him away from the crowds. And the crowds were somewhat adoring, and the crowds were also filled with doubters. The ones who came down from Jerusalem, the ones who questioned his authority, the ones who wondered by whose power he was doing these things, and because they couldn't come up with a better answer, they decided he was of the devil. He had Beelzebul in him. But the logic is awful. How does Beelzebul drive out Beelzebul? How does the devil drive out the devil? I think in our time we don't have nearly the sense of a personal devil that Martin Luther thought about when he wrote A Mighty Fortress, and, you know, hordes of devils fill the land, all threatening to devour us. Luther heard the devil and saw the devil and threw the inkwell at the wall against the devil and things like that. But I don't think I have to make a case about evil in the world, do I? one day's newspaper headlines, 1 week's worth of activities in any major city, wars in Ukraine and Gaza. We are well aware of the presence of evil in our world, even if we aren't focused particularly on Satan or Beelzebul. They said he drives out demons by the power of Beelzebul. How is that possible? And why would Satan want to do that? And he carries the analogy several times, saying also a house divided against itself cannot stand. Lincoln spoke those words during Civil War, and we're at a time where a significant percentage of the population is even thinking about and concerned about civil war. And then Jesus says, by telling a parable, he says, a strong man has to be bound first before you can plunder his possessions, his house, and so on. And that's the work that Jesus was about. By the third chapter of Mark, we haven't seen it all, but we have certainly seen the evidences of it as he is healing people, as he reaches out and touches people who are untouchable, as he befriends those who are friendless, as he loves those who are outcasts, and as he welcomes sinners and even eats with them. By the fullness of the gospel, by chapter 16, we will have seen his crucifixion, the ultimate conflict and the battle against evil. And on that Good Friday, the devil must have thought, "Hallelujah, I have won." And on Easter morning, it was, "Hallelujah, Christ is risen. The devil has not won. Evil does not reign in victorious forever." We're not freed from it in this earthly life. We see it, we hear it, we cringe at it, we wonder what is happening in our world, what's going on with people. There was witness on Friday night at a fast food drive-through in Centerville, guy reaching through the window and had an employee by the shirt and was yelling and screaming at this, and I wondered, should I be calling 911? It turns out they'd already called, but here the people inside were trying to force the window shut, and two people outside were trying to force that window open. Heaven only knows what bad roast beef they got or whatever, or service they got. But what's the matter with people? And where's civility? And as I drove out, here comes the sheriff in, and I pointed him out. I had my hand and arm out the window, and I pointed right over there. It got it resolved before it got worse. Civility in an uncivil world these days, where civil war is even talked about. Jesus had a lot to say then and now. Yes, evil is very much present in our world. We are surrounded by it. We cannot avoid it. We will not be untouched. But we have something much more permanent and something much more eternal that the second lesson talks about. Not this transitory presence. I don't care if I live to be 80, 90, or 100 in the grand time sequence. That's but a speck. That's but a moment. But eternal. A place in the heavens not built by hands is what the writer of the second lesson said today. Jesus speaks to a world where evil is very, very present and very, very real. And he speaks to those who point at him and confuse the language. Confuse things. Remember when we heard about alternative facts? Alternative facts. Interesting kind of idea or concept. And how anything can be spun to be, you know, 180 degrees opposite of its real intent. Jesus warns about those who do that. That's what that blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. Speaking against the God of love and the God who sends His Spirit of love, who sends His Spirit of community that it unites us and brings us together as brothers and sisters in Christ, and that brings us ultimately to eternal life. So this is a day and this is a sermon text that we can once more say, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.